We Talk Podcast presents...
Welcome to a very special edition of the Stick Boy Podcast. Today is different than what most podcasts we usually do. Myself, Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot, and Mo from We Talk Wrestling started off talking UFC and had a big single podcast planned, what turned into a podcast that was very serious and carried some heavy weight to it. So this won't be like anything that we usually do, so I hope you enjoy. There will be a part two, which will be more of our usual stuff, but this episode won't have any wrestling music to it. It will just be go in, we'll get through the UFC conversation, and then we hit on what I'd like to think are some very serious topics. So just letting you know in advance, and make sure you stay tuned for part two that will be out later today. And enjoy.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
And rejoining us again, hailing as the founder and superior broadcaster of We Talk Podcast, We Talk Wrestling, lover of the Screamer at Comic Expo Calgary, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the wrestling god, Mo.
Ah, you're too kind.
Yeah, back again.
Yeah, so here it is from my perspective. Just to say this, I get a message from Joel, what do I think about the ROH show, asking me to come on. I'm thinking, I'll talk a little ROH, I'll talk a little Raw, it'll go 45 minutes or so, it'll be easy. Ah, and then, news story after news story after news story. What the hell have you guys gotten me into?
We like to bring you on the Megapods, and really, this year in itself really is just, if you think about everything that's happened in, what, almost 4.5 months now, in the world of mixed martial arts and professional wrestling, it makes no sense. I think more has happened in that last 4.5 months than all of 2015.
Our end of the year podcast is going to be massive.
Yeah. We may have a sale of a wrestling company in TNA. We may have the sale of the UFC, which will be our next story. We may have our wrestler of the year be AJ Styles in the WWE. We may have our newcomer be Jay Lethal in the WWE. Moose, who freaking knows? Everything is just so bonkers right now.
It's a transitional period. That's what I'll call it.
It's ridiculous.
I don't disagree.
So let's start with the biggest news. And I think, you know, in the world of sports, not a lot has shocked me, but recently a lot has shocked me. Random coaches in the NBA getting fired has shocked me. But nothing has shocked me more than when I got the update on my phone that the Fertittas and Dana White had met with some businesses and have talked about selling the UFC for up to $3.5 to $4 billion.
They must have got sick of babysitting Connor, so now they're just like, screw it, we're selling the company.
There's a silver lining on top of this, but I want Mo's opinion first.
Well, no, I wanted to get what from you guys. Is I mean, I got this message from Joel, actually. And, I mean, obviously, I was surprised everybody was. But I'm wondering from you two, very first thought was, like, if I say to you, dog, you say cat. If I say UFC sold for $4 billion, your first thought was?
Fox.
Disney.
Really?
You have to think about the people that have the money. Joel's right, though, because Fox has the rights. Disney can't do anything to Fox has the rights. They can't bring it to ABC or ESPN. Maybe they can abolish those deals. I don't know how that would work. I'm just trying to I for a side part of me was like, Vince? But there's no way the WWE has $4 billion.
God, no. No.
So it really, but I've now heard it's not
Disney. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire.
Well, he is technically a billionaire again, I guess, but we don't need to get into that. From what I've done gathering and doing my research on this, is it's not Disney or Fox that are in this right now. It's separate business entities coming together to buy it. And the rumor is that maybe if they did sell it off, Dana would get money, and then Dana would still be a figurehead, a la Roger Goodell and Adam Silver type of guy. And then the underline on top of this is the Fertittas have kind of had enough of owning the UFC, and they just bought a new set of hotels in Vegas, and they want money to buy a professional football team. And there happens to be a team that's trying to move to Vegas. Mo, can you connect the dots on who that team is?
Oh, I think you're a fan of that team, aren't you?
Yeah, and I really don't want them to go to Vegas.
The Raiders.
Yeah, so that's the rumor.
Las Vegas Raiders. That would be absolutely insane.
Yeah, so that's the rumor right now, is that the Fertittas want to cash out and get into the football game.
This is you know, I mean, there's so many rumors about it. I mean, it's impossible to get ready to actually hammer down the actual facts of this thing. But the one thing, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
What it will be, if it'll be a full sale, if it'll be a partial sale, who it is, where, what it means for the Fertittas, all that stuff, it's really difficult. Everything is speculation. You can't really say, this is what's going to happen, or this is what I think is going to happen. The only way you can really come at this is say, this is the situation. I'm going to write this one down as a situation, as like a plot line and a storyline. What would happen if? So like, what would happen if the Fertittas sold 50% and retained 50%? Or mm-hmm. what would happen if they sold 100%? That's what you could do, because the actual guess on it, you can't.
Do we know the percentage that the Fertittas own compared to what Dana owns at all?
Yes, the Fertittas own 80%, and Dana owns 9%, and there's an outside company that owns 10%, and I'm not sure where the other 1% comes from, but I believe the Fertittas might own actually 81%.
Dana really is already the figurehead then.
I mean, he's the president, right? Yeah. And that's where he came in. He came in with the knowledge from his history from boxing, but he didn't come in with the money. You know, I mean, he was friends with Fertitta, with Lawrence. I mean, they've been best buddies for a long time. But I mean, those guys were already the casino owners. It's not like Dana came in with a wad load of cash himself, right?
Right.
So what he brought to the table was knowledge, and that gave him a percentage of the company.
So I don't think if the Fertittas and these other businesses of the UFC sold their shares, I don't think that changes anything on Dana. I think we can agree on that.
I don't know. You would have the leverage to just go, be gone, and just more or less buy them out, wouldn't you?
You would. I think you would want to keep them, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know. There might be something nice, because we go through it with sports. I mean, they transition their commissioner, their figurehead all the time.
Maybe do they though? Because we've had Gary Bettman for how long? We've had Roger Goodell for how long? We just had Adam Silver come in, and David Stern was the NBA commissioner since the 1980s. The commissioners don't switch over too much. Even Bud Selig just left baseball like a year ago.
Maybe it's come to that point, because is UFC the hot item it used to be?
No.
So maybe it's time to kind
of... That's arguable when you say no. That's arguable.
I think this is
a company that a couple of years ago they were offered $2 billion and they turned it down. Now they're offered $4 billion, right? So you can't say like their actual revenue this year, and it's star driven as it always is, and it's probably not going to last much longer, honestly, because you look at these stars and I look at a lot of them and see them on their way out the door fairly soon. Mm-hmm. But as far as right now, there's more of a buzz around this company than there was, say, 2 years ago.
Well, how's about 16 years ago when a young, plucky Shane McMahon told his father to buy it for $2.5
million? No, well, if that had happened, it wouldn't exist right now. It wouldn't exist right now.
I'm going to get a football league instead.
But it wouldn't exist. They wouldn't have known what to do with it.
I think Shane would have, because Shane has a good business mind. Really? I think Shane would have worked it out correctly. I don't know if Vince would have worked it out correctly. Wait, I'll agree with you on that point.
Where do you get that Shane has a good business mind from? I mean,
from what he did with his media company in China, it seems like it's worked rather well. And from everyone that he worked with as a sports agent, from Rory McIlroy to the others, have had nothing but glowing reviews about his business
I'll give you the sport agent portion, but it's not like this thing in China has taken off and been greatly successful. I mean,
it's been crazy, but it's been good enough. It's been good enough.
All right. Well, if we get off on that one, we're never going to finish.
No, I'm going from the position that they're in the promoting business, going all the way back to Vince and Jay McMahon promoting boxing even. I think it's in their blood, and I'm just going off of that. But you're right, Mo, we could go back and forth in a debate about that. Yeah.
And again, you say you think Shane would have, but here's why was it – what's Vince's theory on this company? Why did Vince – Vince looked at MMA and allowed UFC to come on after them on Spike at the time for that 1 year. allowed Tough, the original season, to come on because he didn't see them as competition.
He went to a fight.
He saw a fight. The fight ended very quickly. The crowd went nuts. And his reaction was, this won't last because they can't book the finishes. And Vince McMahon would have, it's the same thing as if you look at the XFL. As the season went on and they became more and more desperate and they were losing more and more money, the sports entertainment factor became stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what would have happened with UFC. UFC would have transitioned into more sports entertainment, and it wouldn't have lasted because Vince would have sat there and said, I'm going to book the finishes. At the end of the day, that's how we make money.
There's no way he
wouldn't have let that go.
Let's move. I love the point you're saying. Let's move back to the initial sale in itself. So, we don't know any of these businesses. How do you think this affects Stars? We've never really seen a league like this be for sale. We've never seen like an NFL and NBA be for sale. There's got to be a lot of nuts and bolts that we're not even thinking about. It's just the entire idea of it is really mind-bending. Because there's not really, like in any other league, there's no one that really owns the NHL or owns the NBA. It's weird that we're at this point where this major entity could be sold off.
It is. That's probably the biggest thing. How does this affect the fighters? How does this? I don't think it's. I think it'll be a couple, maybe even a month, where there will be a transitional period. There will be time where the new owner will have to get settled in if they do get sold. And then I think it goes about business as usual for the most part. Maybe there's a few minor changes, but I think that for the most part, they'll honor the contracts that they have already. Because, I mean, if you still have Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, Cyborg, the list could go on and on of names that you have signed, you're going to want to honor those and keep them there because you know where your bread's buttered. So you're going to keep the guys that are important. The guys that are a little bit smaller, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I think they stick around, but you never know.
Go ahead, Mo.
No, the thing is, there's a lot of rumors about where this company is coming from. Obviously, there's a lot of rumors of a company from China.
Yeah.
Actually, I think more than one entity, which is considering purchasing the UFC. Mm-hmm. But the thing, see, whoever it is looking at this is looking at the idea that when the current contract with Fox is up, they're going to double their income from that alone.
That's like the NBA just did. That makes the cap go up this summer.
Exactly. And that's a big part of this. I mean, just that theory. But, I mean, I look at it. I don't know. Again, I'm going to go back to my very first thought when I thought this was, now I understand why they treated Conor McGregor the way they did. Because if I'm a company that's going to come in and sink $4 billion into this, I don't want to see the fighters are having any control. I want to see that these guys are in line before I get this company. So, I mean, if I'm the UFC, if I'm Dana, I'm going, it's not going to matter. Let's strike this guy down because the perceived value of this, a lot of this is the fact that, frankly, these fighters don't get paid nearly what they're worth. And if they did get paid what they're worth, and if they were getting what, you know, athletes in other sports were getting, then this would not be worth as much in a sale for, you know, a company to purchase. So, I mean, that's to me, that was my first thought is, hey, Connor, yeah, I would put him in line too. I'd like everybody fear that they're not going to make as much money and know that they aren't the ones who are in control of this.
Do you think the NFL sees something like this? And kind of goes like, huh, if the UFC is going for $4 billion, what could the NFL go for? And I don't know how that would work. Maybe it's the collective ownership of the owners selling out stuff, but you've got to think with some of these leagues like the NFL and the NBA that have even more noticeable stars are thinking with this UFC, and I'm sure a lot of those just overall sports and team owners are paying very close attention to this entire thing.
I think anyone in business is paying very big attention because this is a very big deal in a lot of ways. For I guarantee you there's a lot of beer companies, there's pubs, mm-hmm. there is Reebok's paying very close attention to this. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people watching this and kind of going, what's going to happen?
You got to think, too. Sorry to interrupt, Joel. I'll let you come back in this and then Mo. You got to think Vince is watching this, too, because there's been a rumor for a long time. You know, he had those talks to some of the people from Warner Brothers that he had been interested in selling the WWE.
I can't see Vince ever selling the WWE. Just the guy couldn't let go. He will work till he's dead. I can't see him letting go of the WWE.
Well, this is Kurt Bauer who believes they would sell it to CNBC Universal. You know, and that would be, and it's logical. Obviously, the companies that the WWE's had, I mean, going back since you know, the Saturday Night's main event has had a history with them. So it's possible. But look, the thing about this that makes this really difficult is sports leagues have sold before. They're minor leagues, but sports leagues have sold before. Not just sports teams, sports leagues. And beer companies have sold before. And so there is a perceived value because there is an understanding of how that business works. The truth is that it's very difficult to get a true perceived value of the UFC because we don't know the future of pay-per-view, because we don't know how this company would work if it would be successful under a secondary person. And that's part of the thing with the WWE. I mean, you'll remember even when Vince McMahon was taken out as the owner and Donald Trump was put in storyline, how the stock crashed. And that was a storyline because people were afraid. Mm-hmm. There's a fear. There is a fear out there, right or wrong. And that's probably a whole other thought.
So did you just say that we have our next owner of the UFC is going to be the next president too?
No. What I'm saying is that there's
a perception.
There's a perception out there.
Yeah.
If it's not Vince McMahon who's running the WWE, that company will not be profitable. So if he's – so why – you know, I don't know that anybody would pay him what this is really worth.
No, how much – I don't want to get too off a tangent, but how much do you think it could go for as a value? Over, under $2 billion?
I would think under.
Because WrestleMania did $1 billion, didn't it, this year?
Wow, not $1 billion. It is $17 million a house. The house was $17 million, and then the merchandise sales were crazy. I think it was something like close to $40 a head.
Well, Tommy Dreamer was on Live Audio Wrestling saying it was the most profitable WrestleMania of all time. And he said, no matter what you think of what the show was, it doesn't matter because of how much they profit from something like that. And you got to think with UFC too, I would hope that if these new owners come in and they see the formula that's working, you kind of want to rinse and repeat that formula.
That's where I feel about the UFC is that Dana White is the figurehead. Dana White was very smart. Dana White branded himself, right? I mean, Dana mm-hmm. White put himself on all the early episodes of Tough, and he had that documentary where he was going to fight Tito Ortiz in that boxing match and all this type of shit. Dana White branded himself almost as powerful as the UFC. So in people's mind, they're the same thing. The mm-hmm. truth is, behind the scenes, I really believe as long as they have matchmaker Joe Silva, they'll be fine. Because he's the real genius to me who runs that place.
Well, and like, because I always kind of looked at Dana like kind of like the Don King in some ways. And boxing doesn't really have that guy. You know, he had that big fight over the weekend. But boxing doesn't really have that promoter that get you going and do the Good Morning America's and the car wash at ESPN. And Dana is that figurehead, that guy to get you pumped up and do those things kind of like a Don King did back in the day. Obviously, he's more power than Don King, but you know what I'm saying.
You know, I do. Dana White pulled the "Do you want to be a fucking fighter?" routine, right? Mm-hmm. And that type of thing, as it made people feel like the UFC was the cool thing.
Yeah,
you know, and he's they've been doing that for years now, kind of, you know, riding that crest.
So let's move on now. This story is just going to grow and grow, and it's such a weird story. It's really not a lot of pieces of news out about it, so this is why a podcast is so good, because it's really a panel discussion on it. And the next one, not a lot of news, a lot of back and forth, and it's super weird. So we talked about Conor McGregor last time you were on, Mo, and he wanted his fight, he retired, blah, 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 blah. And now we're at a point where him and Floyd Mayweather might have a fight?
This is just weird. The biggest thing for this is they'd make a lot of money, both of them would. It would draw a lot of attention, because it'd be like, oh, could this UFC fighter could beat this boxer? Could this boxer beat
him? It's also Floyd's 50th fight.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of money in it. I don't see it happening. I see it a lot of just kind of flapping the gums and kind of talking. The promos between the two of them would be fantastic, but mm-hmm. I just don't see. There's a part of me that kind of just wants to reject it and go, no, I don't know. Why?
Is this the biggest buy rate in pay-per-view history if this ever did happen?
I think so.
I don't think it tops. I think it's the second biggest behind the Pacquiao fight. I mean, that thing is insane.
I just wonder, because of Conor has the power of himself, and Mayweather, the 50th fight, I just kind of think the intrigue that they have, because they had that intrigue before in UFC. I can't remember the boxer who it was, but he just got dismantled right away. But
James Toney, was it?
Yeah, it was James Toney. Thanks, Mo. Yeah, nope. He got ruined. I think he faced Randy Couture, actually.
Yeah, he did.
He got destroyed. Down. And I think the same thing would happen in this. I think, actually, it's technically Floyd's 51st fight, because he beat the Big Show. Forgot about that one, guys. But yeah, I just don't like the way that McGregor can kick and go for the body. He has no chance, because we've all seen Floyd's legs. His legs are scrawny. He has nothing to. He can't do nothing with his legs. Conor would just take out his legs. Sorry?
It'd be a boxing match. There wouldn't be UFC. So
I thought it was going to be a mixed in UFC.
See, the last thing I heard was it'd be a boxing match. It'd be a straight boxing match.
That's different then.
And I think Floyd wins that, because I think McGregor's really
out of his own. Because Floyd pussyfoots around.
Yeah. And I think he does the exact same thing against Conor. Conor might be a little more aggressive, but...
Does anybody on this podcast believe in a straight boxing match that Conor McGregor could beat Nate Diaz?
Nope.
No.
All right, then this is a dumb discussion to be having, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, exactly.
If it's just a boxing match, this is. If it was even a kickboxing match, maybe you'd have some intrigue. Mm-hmm. If it was full MMA, I mean, James Toney and Floyd Mayweather aren't the same athlete. I mean, I still think Mayweather, that's a level of boxing way above. But, I mean, and if McGregor was a great wrestler, I would favor a great wrestler to beat anybody. You know, who's a boxer. He's not a great wrestler. So, I mean, maybe it'd have some intrigue. But the truth is, I don't think if this is a straight boxing match, that would hurt the buys. Because let me tell you, I don't care how much they talk or whatever. Nobody's going to buy that McGregor would have a shot.
Yeah.
No matter how much bigger, no matter how much anything.
All right, moving on. Anderson Silva is out of UFC 198. He did surgery on a gallbladder. Is this really the end of Anderson Silva? Because it's just not the same anymore. Does he need to hang up the boots?
Yeah, I think it's done and finished for him. Like, I mean, it's that old. You saw it with Joe Sakic. You saw it with Steve Yzerman. You saw it where guys were top of the prime and then just kind of slowly dwindled down. Silva probably could still fight, but health-wise, I think it's just time to get out while you're still reasonably healthy.
I think there's still that GSP fight that some people want, and that's the only thing I can really see him staying around for.
I think that was 5 years too late.
I mean, so was Pacquiao Mayweather.
That's the thing is, as far as the quality of the fight, it's 5 years too late. Mm-hmm. As far as how well it would draw these things, they draw better and better and better. The more the legend builds.
Yeah. It's that legend. It's that myth that everyone's sitting there like, oh, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder. And then when it finally happens and you get your answer, you're like, oh, that happened.
Yeah, Pacquiao Mayweather sucked, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're both just terrible human beings, so who do you root for?
Oh, God. At this point, I was... Oh, man, don't make me choose.
You can shoot yourself in the face.
Just the ring collapses and both get sucked. Referee.
And then the last of the UFC news. Cyborg has come out and said that UFC 198, that she had a chance, that Holly Holm was offered the fight with her, and Holly Holm turned it down. I don't know if any of us believe this. Cyborg talks a lot of junk. Mo, Joel, what are your thoughts?
Mo, you can go.
Number one, I don't really believe it. But number two, I mean, if I'm home, I don't fight her.
No.
I mean, I got a patsy I'm going to fight, and then after that I'm going to get a huge fight, possibly for my title again, and that's going to set me up for more and more big fights.
And even if it's not for your title, it's against Ronda.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, meanwhile, if you fight her, and she's dangerous, and she's much bigger than you, and it'd be a catchweight fight, you fight Cyborg, you know, I mean, Santos would probably, there's a strong chance Santos wins that fight, and Holm has too much to lose. I wouldn't take it either. So that's just good strategy. So, yeah. I mean,
she already lost to Misha Tate, right? Who's in Calgary this Saturday.
Is she?
She's hosting UFC 198 at the Pint, and Fresh Take is going to be there.
Ooh.
Small plug. You're welcome to join, nice. Mo.
I think Brian Callaway can take me, so I won't. but yeah.
So I agree with your saying though, because why would Holmes want to pick the fight with Cyborg? Chances are she could lose it, and sure, she lost to Misha Tate. That's okay. She still lost a lot from the Ronda match, but the Ronda match is still there. She's only lost once. She got a cut off guard. She was winning most of that fight, so she still has that lure over her. If she fights Cyborg and loses again, the Ronda fight is plucked away from her.
That's the thing, right? She's right now, she has two big fights. She has the rematch with Tate. No matter what, that's going to be big. And she has the Rousey fight. If she loses to Santos, you know, and Cyborg, let's face it, Cyborg would have a strong shot at beating Holm. If she loses to her, that's it. Now she's back of the line. Then Cyborg is front of the line. And, you know, and she, I mean, maybe she would still have the Rousey fight and we still draw, but really she becomes fourth, right? Fourth in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And 100%.
And I absolutely agree. Like, it would be crazy to take this fight. And it's just Cyborg trying to, because Cyborg knows this. Cyborg knows she could leapfrog and easily put herself in a huge position to make a lot of money and skip a whole bunch of steps and just go straight to the front of the line.
But here's the other thing that Cyborg knows she can't really make 135.
Yeah,
especially now that they don't have the IVs and all that stuff, she can't. So she's trying to position it like these women are afraid of her, hoping, it's a little Conor McGregor move, hoping that the public outcry for these matches is enough to get these women to come up and face her. She tried this with Rousey, and this is what it screams to me.
Yeah, no, I've heard that she's struggling cutting weight for whatever fight she has up now. Like, she's not, it's a struggle for her to do. So,
She has 65 pounds worth of human growth hormone in her right now. Just flowing through her veins at any point.
It's scary. She's definitely someone that, when you think about drug testing, should be tested first and foremost, multiple times.
Yes, you guys remember In Living Color, that character, the bodybuilding character that Jim Carrey played? Either one of you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Joel's too young.
Too damn young. YouTube it.
Well, Cyborg does have a fight at UFC 198 against Leslie Smith.
Yeah.
Who's 2-2 at
140 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in her hometown. She's going to destroy her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an introduction. That's a jobber. That's the same thing as putting, you know, Baron Corbin in there against a jobber, like former world champion Dolph Ziggler.
Well, let's talk about WWE. And, of course, Joel and I put the pot out, and then Black Friday happened.
Usually how it happens.
So, I mean, this is about a month late. A week late. So I don't want to get too much into the releases. Joel and I have kind of talked about this off air. Mo, who none of these really were shocking to me, except for maybe one. Which ones were you shocked, if not disappointed by, and you thought you saw more? And do you really see any of these guys going anywhere? Because a lot of these guys and gals, I don't really see doing anything outside of the going forward.
You know, it's not a young crew that got released is one thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing you have to look at. I mean, you know, if you're somebody like New Japan, I mean, you might try and get a Wade Barrett because
that's about foreign, it. Yeah.
A foreigner is good, you know. And Damian Sandow should be fine on the independent circuit.
Yeah, he's probably TNA bound, I would assume.
Possibly. I mean, either way, I mean, he's already signed to Russell Cole Cabana, and I would pay money to see that.
Brilliant.
You know, yeah, I mean, but that's it. I mean, but Wade Barrett's also probably the best chance of anybody to come back to that company.
It sounds like he's just going to become a soccer broadcaster for a while.
Yeah, but he's also said he's going to wrestle again. So what does that mean? You know?
Yeah, I think he'll come back. I think he wants to dip his world in the world of footy, be part of the Euro Cup and all that jazz, maybe do World Cup in 3 or 4 years to see him back.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he's 36 or something like that.
Yes.
You know? You know, so I mean, I don't know that his window is open for that long.
John Cena closed that window.
He's definitely. I mean, but there's. I mean, he didn't meet his potential, obviously.
Yeah.
Nope. Neither did Sandow. John Cena closed that potential.
Yeah. Well, actually, John Cena kind of. John Cena beat both of those guys in key matches. Now that you mention it,
I like Cena, but you know, he kind of screwed over the Nexus. But we're not getting into a Nexus thing. I don't want to. I guess we can with Wade Barrett. Really, I think he had the most promise out of anything, and that Nexus angle was really, really hot. And then he ran into that SummerSlam Superman buzzsaw and destroyed everything.
Yeah, it was bad booking.
Wade Barrett
suffered from bad booking for years.
Yeah.
In fact, he was over injuries. The fact he was over the level he was, despite that, it says a lot. But I mean, talk about a guy with start and stops and with gimmick changes and with everything. Like they, like this is a guy who they never. I don't think I ever saw him consistently win 5 matches in a row.
No, even and when he won IC titles.
Yeah, if you don't win 5 matches in a row at some point, you're never going. Well, if you win, then get the IC title, you're guaranteed 5 losses in a row.
This is your talk to the Miz right now.
Yeah. No, so I mean, this guy. But again, Damian Sandow, to me, when I look at bad writing and bad booking and a bad company, mm-hmm. when I look at a guy who was, like I said, I was there, mm-hmm. and that battle royal was going on, and that crowd was going crazy for him, you know, just a little over a year ago at WrestleMania. And the guy who's that over, you can't find a way to do something with him.
Joel is in Calgary at a house show. He was one of the most over guys in the house show.
Yeah.
And that's bad. Yeah, that's just bad. That's just bad creative.
It reminds me of Zack Ryder. I remember who is Curt Hawkins did an interview and said, you know, when Zack went out of his way, got himself over, and ever they did, they shit on him, they bring him down, and he continually got himself over. And that's what Sandow did. He got himself over. Even these past 2 weeks when he come out for like a battle royal or he was out to get jobbed, huge ovation. But when you get booed like that, Curt Hawkins is like, what does that do to the boys in the back that want to take a chance and want to get that brass ring? It shows us, nah, it doesn't matter what you do.
No, the brass ring, man, that makes me mad. You're right. It's unbelievable.
There's a certain amount of certain people should not make it. Certain guys weren't supposed to make it and made it, a la CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. But there are certain guys that the company just will be. There's a time where WWE is sitting there like, we don't have new stars. Well, you have a chance to make new stars, and you constantly misstep with them. And you go.
Alex Riley was one of those guys, too. I thought Alex Riley. I didn't like some of the anger stuff he was doing in NXT. And he had a job for life. He just stayed as a broadcaster, but he wanted to be a wrestler. He took the gamble, and he paid for it.
And he's another guy that suffered, was rumored to have suffered from the Cena axe.
Yeah.
He's, you know, the thing is, when I look at this list, again, it's not young list, but like I think the vast majority of these people I don't think they're too upset about going. Like, I don't get that sense. Like, that's one thing, you know. I mean, Ryback is, you know, going to go. It seems to me like, I mean, Adam Rose would have been happy to be fired rather than going without pay, being suspended. I don't get the sense. You know, I don't get the sense that any of these people are really upset. Sandman has been.
I think Cameron is, but she's a fucking idiot.
No, according to her Facebook post, I don't think, you know, or Instagram, I think it was, where she was talking about supporting Ryback and then the bullying thing. No, I don't think she, I think she wanted out of there too. Most of these people, they're not happy, as happy, they're not creatively filled, and they're not making, when they're not on TV, nearly the money people think they make.
Of course, so, it's like people in broadcasting, right? People hear you on the radio, people see you on TV, it's like, oh, you're in broadcast, you make must make so much money. No, that's why a lot of us have second jobs. Not everybody can
make that Joel Johnson paycheck.
I know, man. Yeah. This guy is just bringing in the money. But, I mean, side story, we have friends in Fort McMurray right now doing everything they can do, and they're not getting paid half as much in the media as what they should be. And they're not the real heroes about the entire thing. But what I'm saying is, you know, they're staying up long nights trying to inform the people, all that stuff, and they're not getting paid just like these wrestlers. If they're not on the show, they're not getting paid, even though they're busting their asses on house shows and whatnot.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because when Ryback, because the main catalyst for this pay talk has been Ryback. Of all people, it's been Ryback. And I don't think everyone should be paid John Cena money, but I think there does need to be a level of equalness where people can live and not, and know that I'm taking a beating right now, but it's worth it, because I
You should have your hotel, food, and gas paid for. That's one of the things that Ryback asked for, and I think those three things have to definitely be paid for.
It'll never happen, because
it makes zero sense why they would not pay for that. That's ridiculous.
Because then they have to spend money, and they don't get to make as much money. It's as simple as that.
That frustrates me to no end, that at least their hotels aren't even paid for. They have to drive to these towns, pick gas from there, and pay the hotels, and it really shows you now. You have so much more respect for these guys and how much dedicated they are to their craft, because they're, you know, these guys from the Sharks and the Preds tonight, whenever this game is done, if the Preds win, if the Sharks win, they're going to get to fly to St. Louis, San Jose, whatever, and have cater and all that stuff. But these wrestlers, they're going to the next town and get nothing.
They're going to have to all pay for it.
It's ridiculous.
The whole independent contractor thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And again, the UFC fighters are what I've heard is 15%. They're getting about 15%, and the WWE performers get about 7%, and even more than that, because they're independent contractors. They don't have things. You talk about hotels and stuff like that. And we were also talking about things like dental and that type of thing that, you know, the janitor has working at Titan Towers and they don't have. You know, little things that really add up. It's because they're not unionized, and until they're unionized, this will never change. And we know that it's never going to happen. And
do you think there's any chance if Hunter does take the position when Vince dies, there's any chance with that happening with Hunter in charge, because he knows how it is?
No, I don't think so.
Because the paycheck will be too. You'll see the numbers and be like, "Well, we're making more money this way." So,
but it's also you have to look at it. You also have to look at it from this perspective. They're a publicly traded company. A publicly traded company has a fiduciary responsibility to make as much money for their investors as possible. That's they're an entity in the United States. They are legally have as the rights of a human being. And that is their sole purpose. And they have to actually pursue that. They have to legally pursue the most money they can for their investors. That's a whole other discussion about how messed up that whole concept is. But for that reason, they would have to fight it. And again, there was a chance, and I think it was 86. I believe it was 86, maybe 87, where Jesse Ventura...
Yes, it was organizing. Yeah, it was,
and it almost happened. And
then Hogan threw him under the bus.
Hogan ratted it out and ratted them out, and he screwed them all. And you know what? I mean, I've known Hogan's a scumbag for a long time. But that was one of the first times I learned how big of a scumbag he is.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, if they suddenly become unionized, then Hulkamania doesn't continuously cash in as much as what it was without it. Because you got to think, guys like Cena, guys like Hogan, guys like Rock and Austin are making a lot. Brock Lesnar are making a lot of money with the current situation.
Okay, wait. Is Stephon Curry is he making like no money? Is he paid well?
I mean, comparably, he's fine. I'm not gonna say he gets paid more than what a teacher should be paid, but if you're gonna go by what Steph paid, he is the 55th highest paid player in the NBA right now.
But at some point, he's gonna cash in, right?
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, Mo. I love everything what you're saying. Here's the difference with some professional athletes too, and we've seen this with the player strikes for the NBA and the NHL the last few years about what they get from revenue. From arena, from the arenas, from the popcorn, from jersey sales and all that, they go towards their salaries as well. And that doesn't go equally split with the performers in the WWE or TNA or whatever.
No, it doesn't. And you know what? One of the other things is when you see the collective bargaining agreements being negotiated, they talk about their stipends and those different things. And you know, those things are negotiated to go up as well. And those, you know, I mean, the hockey players get money for meals on the road that are making $10 million a year. And they're still negotiate for those things to go up. Because that's what you do. The union should look out for the best best interests of their entire union, of everybody in it. And that's also the thing about Hulk Hogan would have still made a shitload of money. He still would have made more than everybody else if he was on top. But he wouldn't have. But the it's the bottom guy he could have helped. But yeah,
you know what also is crazy too is though you look at the NBA with their cap this year as well. Their cap last year was something about $78 million. Well, that TV deal is coming in this year. Those big TV contracts, and that busts their cap up to $93 million this year. So everyone has money to spend. Now, why I bring that up in the WWE, their TV contract is up in 2 years. And there's no one's going to break the bank for them. In fact, it's probably going to end up in the network, and there's a whole cluster F about that already. Okay. So they're not even going to get TV revenue coming in for them.
I have to disagree with you. I actually think in a couple – number one, when – that's the difference, okay? When the WWE went in and you talk about the cap going up because there's a new TV deal coming in, when the WWE had their new deals come out and all of them came together and they got more money – the guys didn't get paid more.
Oh,
they're you know, that's not how it works in the WWE, and that's the exact point. But
yeah,
I actually don't think, and this is again another subject, and boy, we have enough to hit already. But I don't believe that when the WWE contracts are up, that they're not going to be able to negotiate an increase in their revenue from television. Because the thing is, if you look at what it's not about how valuable they are and where the ratings are. It's about how valuable they are to one network and what it does for them. And that's USA Network, right? If USA Network is sitting there, and without the WWE, they're the fifth-rated network. That what they charge for their advertising across the board goes down compared to as their number one, even if they're not making money on that 3 hours every night. As long as the WWE continues to be the highest rated show on cable that night, a top 10 show, and they help get them over that bump, and I don't see this going away because you know, as long as they get them over that bump, their value to them will be not what they're earning from that 3 hour block, but what they can get in revenue from all their other shows because they can say we're number one still. And so it's possible that they'll be just fine.
Well, let's say just make it up here. So that contract with USA ends in 2 years. And let's say USA is like, nope, we don't want you anymore. Go to ESPN, we don't want you anymore. Fox Sports, we don't want you. So let's say they put it on the network. How does the money situation, as far as your knowledge, go for the network to performers?
Well, yeah.
and that's a whole other thing too, right?
That's where, you know what, that's not good. And we've heard about people that are, legend contracts and that type of thing, talking about how they don't get anything, is because their contracts state that they don't have to pay them for this. I mean, they have to pay them for DVD sales, but because something like the network wasn't actually ever, it's, let's put it this way, there was a point where you could play music that was in the 50s on a television show without paying anything to the artists who had cut those tracks.
Yeah, you could play Bing Crosby and you're good to go.
You were good to go because they never presumed there would be reruns. Mm-hmm. And they never presumed there would be DVD sales. And they never presumed all these things, all this. And it's that same type of thing. Because nobody ever presumed something like a network would happen, it's written into the contract. It's not written into the contracts they've had.
Wouldn't a Bing Crosby song now be in the public domain, though, Mo?
It depends on whether or not the copyright gets renewed. But that's a whole other thing, though. I mean,
yeah, because I guess the point technically is, Beatles should be in the public domain, but they're always going to get renewed.
They're always going to get renewed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's I believe it has something to do with as long as you press a new CD with those tracks every 15 years or something
like
that.
Which is why you get the greatest hits of the 50s or Beatles' greatest. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so, okay. But getting the point being that these guys don't get anything they get something from DVDs because DVDs and the concept of home media existed. And so that's kind of written into the contract, you know? Mm-hmm. But the concept of a network was so out of there, nobody saw it coming, that it's not written in that they have to get paid for that. Mm-hmm. So the guys don't get paid. This is, again, where a union from the beginning would be protecting the guys and always would have protected the guys to make sure they're getting their share of it if there was. And I, you know, even a Mick Foley's not for unions, which blows my mind.
Like, wow.
It's so out of the thought of wrestlers. It's going to happen at UFC someday, I'm sure.
I agree with you.
But I just don't ever see it happening in wrestling. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame.
Yeah, it's just, you hear all these stuff, it just really gets you sad. And that was a great conversation. I think
you know what? Problem. I have to say, part of our attitude on this is probably because we're Canadian.
Probably doesn't hurt.
That probably plays a big role in things.
One thing I was really disgusted too with them, this didn't happen on Black Friday, but the Brooklyn Brawler got released and it really caught him off guard. He's been in the company since the early 80s and he thought that he had a job for life.
What blew my mind is he's 55.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's even crazier. I thought he was in his 60s. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. He was young, man. He was young and I didn't realize it because he looked old.
And I mean, he'd been a company man. Like, he was yes man, right away man, whatever you need, done, finished. I'll go out and job. I'll go out and do this for you. Whatever you need, I will go do.
So Harvey Wilkman's next then, right?
Go look on the WWE Network, and you're going to find every single documentary about every performer. He's all over those things.
Or Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, he would do whatever he could for that company to make himself valuable. He's all over, even once that, like, you would think he would have nothing to say about the Four Horsemen, but he's all over it.
Yep.
And they just kind of kicked him to the side. It's like, so where does a guy that's worked for a madman like Vince McMahon go from here? Does he work the indies?
He's probably going to do an RF shoot, I would assume.
That would be my guess.
Maybe he'll go and... I guess he could have done a pod by now with JR or Austin or anybody, right? There's really no... But now he can release skeletons if he wants to now.
He can get a book deal, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd have a great book in him. I think even JR said this. At 55 years old, I mean, his life is hardly over. I mean, hopefully he has the skills that he picked up working for the company to do something, I would hope. But the crazy thing, but I don't know. The thing about it is, I don't know, does he, like, he was an employee. He wasn't an independent contractor, right? He must have gotten some sort of, I would imagine he would have gotten a fair severance package.
Yeah, he was an employee with the company. He was in that Pat Patterson where he was an employee for life. That's what everybody thought. Him and Harvey Whitman and Pat Patterson were just there for life. They were just getting a steady paycheck. Yeah,
rumors about his relationship with Pat Patterson over the years. Obviously, so I mean that's
in a negative way.
Yeah, well, you know,
I don't want to get too much into it, but you know, when you think about Pat Patterson's relationship, is it that he was homophobic?
No.
I know
that.
Where Mo's going with this.
More like that they were very very close. That was a strong rumor, and so that was actually my wondering about this was, man, what does this say about for Pat Patterson's current position in the company and his any leverage he might have? That was actually part of what I thought.
They would never release Pat Patterson. That would look really bad on them.
Well, and he's still valuable even if he's only there a couple times a year, because, you know, unless they could get Bret Hart to come in and be their finish guy for big pay-per-views, they need a Pat Patterson because they suck at those.
Yeah.
So the next one we're going to go to isn't an easy part of it, but what the fuck is Adam Rose doing?
Well, I think it's very simple. With Adam Rose, it's a situation of a guy that, you know, we look back, rewind back to a year when that E60 came out on NXT, and everyone was, oh, Adam Rose, look at him, I want to get behind him, and the company never got behind him, and his career just really fizzled out. He had little moments where he kind of popped up. He was part of the 2016 version of the Job Squad, and he just kind of floated around, and then he got suspended, and it just, like, when it rains, it pours, and his world came crashing down around him with the drugs, with his comments about the company. I'm surprised they didn't fire him on Black Friday. It made no sense not to just jettison him out.
Because he wouldn't give it up, because he said his doctor had given him some kind of, it was like a Ritalin or something, I believe.
Yeah, it was something along those lines.
To calm him down, because he suffers from ADHD, and he was using that. And, you know, I think MVP's been down this road as well. There's certain substances that you don't know that they're banned, but they're just sometimes they're just weird things that are just banned in the code.
I think, again, this ties back into that union talk of, at least with a union, you'd have an idea, or at least there would be some protection of, okay, well, tell me what's banned so I know what not to take.
You'd be able to file some sort of formal grievance, whereas there's no formal grievance that a performer can file in this situation. And that's where they have no power. And that's why he's you know, doing that, putting that letter from the doctor up and saying, I told them about this 2 years ago, and all of a sudden I'm pumped for it. And it is a very confusing situation, because it's like, is it... Because he's been on it for long enough that he should have been popped before, you know. so it's a very strange thing. But then you get to the domestic abuse thing, where he got right in his wife's face, grabbed her face, yelled right in her face, threatened her. She went to call the police, as she called the police, he grabbed the phone away from her, and that's actually the felony that he is charged with, not grabbing her by the face, and not that stuff's a misdemeanor. The felony is taking the phone away, which is an interesting thing. They have a special needs child, and they have no income coming in right now. And they had a prior incident in March that had come up. So this is actually the second incident in a fairly short period of time. And since then, he's been attending weekly church with his pastor and talking about his issues. He's 36 years old. He probably would have been fired. I think they didn't fire him only because they would have looked bad. They were just waiting for the heat to die down, and then they were going to fire him after that doctor's don't thing. Now,
well, there's rumors of more releases tomorrow, like Jack Swagger, for example. Do you think they just
I heard Jack Swagger just re-signed a new deal.
Really?
I heard that about a week ago. I mean, I've been hearing rumors that his deal is up and he's about to leave for a long time, that there's actually interest in him in Bellator. And then I heard about a week ago. Now, again, it could be rumors. I mean, you never know, but I heard they resigned, and that I was very surprised. So we'll see about that one.
All right, cool. Yeah, continue then.
But so anyways, I mean, see, the thing that, okay, I don't know if you guys have anything more to say about Adam Rose, because I have a bunch to say here, and I don't
want we got the canvas, paint.
Look, to me, what he did is—it's not acceptable, especially it being the second time. I mean, it's not a crime. You know, we've seen worse, but it doesn't mean that it's acceptable.
Great
heart. It's never acceptable. That said, the WWE's—what really pisses me off is the, like, you've seen this with UFC. A fighter will have something domestic violence, and their situation is, we're internally investigating this. We're going to internally investigate this, and they really release no statement one way or another, and they basically wait for it to play out. And that kind of pisses me off too, because I'm like, oh man, there should be a zero tolerance. Like the NFL now has their zero tolerance, thank God, after the Ray Rice incident and all that stuff, you know. But when I look at the WWE and them say we have zero tolerance, to me it smacks of bullshit. Because this is a company that has put Floyd Mayweather on WrestleMania, and he was all over the network a year ago about what a great guy he is, and the documentary that they did in the WrestleMania Rewind, and they're going to put
Michelle be the left,
and they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame the second they get the opportunity. This
Mike
is a company
Tyson,
that,
Mo. Mike Tyson as well.
Mike, I was just getting started.
Okay, I'll let you go. Sorry.
Mike Tyson is another example. You mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin is another example. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Snuka, for crying out loud, is in the Hall of Fame. Killed a woman.
And covered it up.
And meanwhile, even Carlos Colon was put in the Hall of Fame just a few years ago. And frankly,
I killed Brody.
Yes. So when I hear zero tolerance, I'm like, oh, really? Since when?
It's only when it benefits the company. It's
anything like that is. Oh yeah, it's bullshit. I get so pissed off. I actually started to write a blog about this over a year ago, and I got so emotional writing it. And the more I researched the different incidences of when they cover stuff up or they've allowed somebody with domestic violence to continue in their company and to do, I was just losing it, and. This to me, I get more mad at them. I get more mad at the be a star and the anti-bullying and all that stuff.
Like, I mean,
I don't believe a thing.
You go back to like the be a star. Like, you look at stuff like someone crapping in someone else's bag, or someone taking lotion into someone else's bag, or
shitting in someone's bag.
Yeah, like doing stuff like that, and there not being consequences. There's certain people that are earmarked to be.
We have zero tolerance, but you really think if Randy Orton had a domestic violence, they would have zero tolerance, or they would be investigating the situation internally?
Yeah, and if there was an incident, say with Cena, it would be oh, it's over there. Don't worry about it. We're dealing with it. It's crap. I think Adam Rose gets fired. And I think that, like, didn't WWE announce after the Greg Hardy stuff or whatever?
Joel, don't get me started. Don't do it, Joel.
They announced after that they had no tolerance for this at all, and that would be
automatic. Yeah, that's after
fire.
He went from 10 to 4, and he threw his girlfriend, choked her onto a bed of guns, and then Jerry, Mr. CTE doesn't exist, got it in again, thank you very much, said that he was a great human being, a great role model, all that. They took his suspension and put it down to 4. Meanwhile, Thomas Brady is suspended for the exact same amount of games for allegedly deflating fucking footballs.
Yeah, why is it Brady? Why isn't it the center? You know, why is it, like... He's the first guy to touch the football. Why isn't it his fault?
Yeah. Just a little bit of air. But the guy that beats up his girlfriend, we're going to give him the same suspension.
It's such a and it's not even just pro wrestling. Like you said, that you look at the amount of stories I imagine in the NHL that they cover up so nicely and so eloquently.
But that's because the NHL isn't what the NFL or the NBA or baseball is, globally in North America, right? Yeah. And the WWE, in some ways, just is more bigger than the NHL in many ways, too, as far as TMZ and everything is concerned.
Yeah. I can, because TMZ will shove a camera.
If Brent Burns beats up his girlfriend, God bless, Brent Burns would never do it. He's a saint. But if Brent Burns beat up his wife or whatever, still be a small story, but it's not going to take over the world like even a jobber like Adam Rose does, because the WWE, more people in North America care about it. If, let's say, Klay Thompson beat up his girlfriend, it's going to be everywhere the next day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Unless his girlfriend was really, really, really hot.
Yeah.
Then it would be everywhere, because that's what the really is.
Which Brent Burns does okay.
Yeah. Well, then it changes. Like, that's the other thing. I mean, how good looking she, like they're always looking for, they're not reporting the news, right? They're reporting what they believe will get ratings. And that's always what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and WWE, it's reputation because of the steroids, because of the Attitude Era, because of the Chris Benoit thing and the deaths and all this stuff. It's still got a sleazy, like, you know, people they're fascinated by that world. And hey, I mean, there was problems, but no worse than what there is in music that gets swept under the drug fairly regular, or mm-hmm. Under the rug fairly regular.
Yeah, yeah. I think, but, you know,
I just the second Mayweather goes into that Hall of Fame, I'm going to be back on this podcast saying zero policy with you guys. Maybe I should finish that blog. It was, guys, it's really amazing when you look at all the incidences over the years, more than you could even realize.
You know what's weird, though, Mo? I like that you bring up Austin and Tyson, because I would think for the most part we like them. And they seem like have redempted themselves and their great personalities. But Mayweather's such an asshole. Do you think the reason that we kind of forget about the Austin one and the Tyson one to a degree? Tyson, by the way, raped a girl and went to jail for it. But we kind of forget about it. It's like, oh, it's Mike Tyson. He's silly. Oh, look at him fall off this hoverboard. And we just kind of forget about it. When he went to the Hall of Fame, I didn't even really think about it. Same with Austin. Didn't think about him with his first one wife or harassing Deborah. But with Mayweather, it's really at the center of everything.
Well, there's part of that. It's part of it because he's an asshole. I think it's part of it because these things are, there's been multiple, there's been so many incidences, and you know what, there's been lots of incidents with Tyson too. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is, I don't know about Austin. I think we all can see Tyson as a changed person.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
I would agree.
Like he is a changed person, and mm-hmm. not to say he still doesn't have his demons. He is a changed person though. I mean, he, you know, when you see him at 19 years old and, you know, and he is he's training with Teddy Atlas, and he just starts heading towards him, and he just wraps his arm around him and starts bawling for no reason, and then talking about how much pain he's in. You know, this, and you see that guy, and then you see this guy on the hoverboard. This is a person who has grown and matured and reached whatever.
And has regretted his mistakes, too.
Yeah. Now, he's always denied the rape, and yes. He still will, and he gets very, very angry over it.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been no reports of incidences for a long time, and mm-hmm. and you don't want to hold these things against somebody forever. It's either zero tolerance or it isn't, is my point. And it's like, if the attitude was different, if it wasn't, it's those words that smack to me of it's bullshit. You know, I mean. If it's like Tyson had his issues, he's overcome them, and we're proud of the person he's become, and that he's part of our family, I think we're all okay with that. Mm. It's the, we're zero tolerance, but hey, come on in, despite your history. That's what makes me mad.
Well, I mean, I hate to throw him under the bus, but AJ Styles, with some of his comments about homosexuals before he came into the company.
Yeah, and that's based
on... And you can put up the good old Southern boy kind of mentality, but I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole. But
no, I believe BS. that was on. I believe that was on the Between the Ropes podcast that he said these things years mm-hmm. years ago,
yeah.
10 years ago. And again, he would have been much younger. It would have been mm-hmm. many years ago. And he's a very religious fella, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that's where it comes from. But mm-hmm. It's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Spreading hate is spreading hate. Or abuse in any way is not acceptable.
No,
I totally agree. Like, and that's the one thing with the zero tolerance. And when you see some of these guys and some of the comments they come out with, no one's perfect. Like, everyone has their flaws. But when you have a company that does these, be a star and does this, look, see, we're all smiles and sunshine and rainbows. It's really not. And there comes a point where you almost have to admit your faults. And yeah, no, there are guys here that has their demons, has their faults, has their beliefs, and as a company, we want to promote this. We want to be as good as possible because we believe ourselves to be role models for the community. But we have people within the company that struggle with that, and we will do our best and our due diligence to straighten these issues out and make sure, like the CM Punk yelling, you have a vagina. That type of stuff is not acceptable.
I don't know. That was kind of funny.
It's really murky water, and it's something.
I think that's a case of him being an asshole, and just that's just him joking around with somebody, and that's just the CM Punk sense of humor, right?
It seemed pretty mean spirited to me, to be honest.
It did, for sure, for sure. He's saying that he's a pussy. He could have just said he was a pussy, but he said he had a vagina.
Like, you know what? But you're right. I mean, it's a tough thing, and we all struggle with it. And I can't say I don't either, because I'm just sitting here right now thinking, you know what? I don't hate Jay Briscoe, and I never stopped watching ROH, and I never said ROH should have suspended him, and he said awful homophobic things.
Oh, I sure did, Mo.
That cost him,
I sure did.
And you know what? That's my mistake. I should have.
I mean, I come from a place too. I have gay relatives, so maybe I'm a little hypersensitive to it. Even I don't know, but
don't think you are. I think you're right. I just think you're right.
By the way, I want to continue the conversation. I'm just going to let people know this is just going to be an issue-based pod. We're going to continue with this subject until we finish, and I think what we're going to do is split this in two halves, and we're going to cover the news. Because you can't really talk about all this and then go talk about the Bullet Club. So continue on, Mo. We're going to do this, and then we're going to end, take a deep breath, and then after we're going to go to part two. So if you want to get to all your wrestling news and you're sick of hearing about these issues, move on to part two. But this is still part one. Continue, Mo.
Yeah, no, we should try and have a little fun. But you know what? It's as I sit here, I'm a little disappointed in myself for that. You know, and that's it. Like, it is something we all struggle with. But again, I think Joel said it really, really well when he said, you know, it's all sunshines and happiness, and it's not. Like, ROH has never tried to portray a certain image like the WWE has.
No.
You know, it's very the WWE's corporate bullshit combined with this is it really offends me. That's really what it comes down to in many ways, right?
I just would like them to kind of, you know, you talked about that upfront action, right? I look at someone like Adam Silver from the NBA. And when the Sterling stuff happened with the Clippers, he jumped in front of that. And maybe some people would say he overpunished him, but he put his foot down and said, this will not be accepted. And the WWE should have done something like that. They should have fired him on the spot. Not accepted. We have nothing. They can even say, we have tolerated this in the past, and that is our negligence of doing such an act. But from going forward, we are done taking with any of this. This is a sickening action, and we will not stand for this in the WWE.
But you know what? To me, even just firing the person isn't enough. This is you have to understand. My sister works for a shelter with domestic abuse women, and like you should have seen like the stories she has and the things that she has. That could be a podcast that would fascinate the hell out of you. But the fact is that. She says the men are victims too, in a way, because many of them feel tremendous guilt for what they've done.
For sure, for sure.
It is a disease, and they need the counseling. They need the help themselves. So just simply let somebody go instead of trying to get them the help is an issue. But this is where it comes down to for me. I think this sums it up really, really well. Chris Benoit had a domestic violence incident with Nancy before he killed her.
Who else did that in 94?
And the WWE knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE didn't do anything about it. And you could say it's a learning issue, but it's not. It's never been okay to be violent towards women.
Never.
And it's only not okay now because of the WWE to this level. Because of Ray Rice, and they are aware the public perception of it is
mm-hmm,
higher.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's
what
offends me.
You know, it's even crazier too. You talk about the prior domestic with Nancy Benoit and Chris, and it was kind of a similar thing with OJ, right?
Yes.
All these domestic abuses, people ignored it. He didn't have the NFL hovering over the time he was a retired player. But the point is, whether you're in the WWE, hey, the NFL.
Wasn't he contract? Well, he was under contract to NBC, though, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
He was working as
He was with everybody. I mean, you watch the People vs. OJ. The sponsorships he had, the Naked Gun series, all that stuff. And my point is, it doesn't matter if you're under contract to the WWE, NBC. If you're with President's Choice and you're just a Superstore employee, none of this should ever be noticed. Should be tolerated. And whoever you are, you need to step in front of this and say, we don't want to associate you with our company, period, if you're going to be so those kind of actions.
I agree more so with Mo. I'm going to jump in. I think that there needs to be a rehabilitation. There needs to be at least the attempt to kind of go, okay, there may be some underlying issues with this man or woman, because domestic abuse can go either way. And
absolutely, TNA hired Karen Terrell after she beat up Drew McIntyre. And seriously, and no, but it sounds funny, but it's not.
I know.
Hell out of
it. I just think of Drew McIntyre because he always says that nobody, and I just picture him like nobody.
I look at it and I go, there is a certain point where you got to be okay. You've done this. You're suspended, but you're gonna go somewhere. Like if someone had a drug addiction, where would they send them? To rehab.
But that's the thing. Even you look at the rehab center, look at China. They refuse to give her help.
It's one of those situations where it becomes, you're employing someone, you're partially responsible for their life and well-being. You've got to, because you're investing money in them, you have to be able to go, okay, you need to do this, and you need to get that help, or you need to go to that anger management.
As a society, we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. As a society, we need to sit there and say, when abuse happens, whether it's drug abuse or it's some sort of sexual abuse or it's anything, it needs to be, this is not accepted. We're going to end this, and then we're going to get you help.
And it seems like Adam Rose is suffering from both. It seems like he has some drug abuse, and now he has his domestic as well.
It does seem that way.
I think both of them are tied together. And it's really, you look at the situation and you go, that it's a human being. Like there are three human lives that are being affected right now. It's Adam Rose, his wife, and his special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three lives that are impacted right now. That kid, special needs or not, will see that daddy is on TV and daddy is a bad man. And that will affect that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you something. For them to just release him is not the right move.
No.
Do you release him and put him into the rehab center, maybe? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if rehab. It's some sort of counseling, though. It is something, too. You know what? it's something. I don't know what the answer is. But I know that it's not just, hey, let's let... You know what? Here's the guy... Eddie Guerrero just got let go because he was doing his drugs, and it helped him get him clean because it was a wake-up call.
Mm.
And I can't think of a second guy that it worked for.
Yeah, because you look at Carlito? Luckily, he was fine, but then I look at Umaga. And what happened to Umaga, three, 4 months afterwards? Overdose.
Yeah.
It's
too risky.
Yeah. It's now you've got to be like, okay, you're locked into this contract, so we're going to just take you. You're being punished for this. This is not cool. This is not okay. This is not acceptable. And we're going to get you that help. If this doesn't work, then you're gone. It's really that simple. If you can't recognize that you have an issue and you need help, then you can't help a person.
And that's where it comes with someone like China, is they try to help her many times. And then there comes a point where it's like, the hopefully the wake-up call is, we're not going to help you anymore. You got to help yourself, because the truth is, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to help themselves.
Yep.
They have to be a willing participant to make a change.
And sometimes you need the one-on-one help like DDP would give you.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, it's a struggle. And you know what? I don't get the sense from Adam Rose that he wouldn't want to do the help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get the sense that he is a bad person.
No, I think he's look at the E60 piece, right?
Mike Tyson has some through it, it appears. Mm-hmm. It is possible. I think that's why we hate Mayweather, because I don't get the feeling he's ever going to want to come through it.
No, and he's kind of, even Kanye West has some redeeming qualities to him at times. Mayweather seems his cockiness has no ending and no redemption to it.
So like I say, I'm usually when we talk wrestling, which is I'd like to mention right now to those people in case you ever do check it out. It's a comedy show about wrestling.
We usually have a lot of fun too.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun too. It's just we had a lot of serious issues recently with the Ryback thing, and now there's Adam Rose thing.
We would be hitting these things probably in a non-serious way, even if they deserve it. And sometimes you try to. I have to say, it's maybe a bit cathartic for me. It's a little strange as well, but I do appreciate you giving me a chance to talk on this show here.
For sure.
Yeah, so I won't tell a joke on this one.
No,
but expect one on the next one.
For sure. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff, a lot of serious stuff mentioned here. Like Mo said, normally they joke around, and we promise we're going to get more into the light side of wrestling, WWE, Ring of Honor, because, you know, as much as there is a serious these serious matters and they sweep it under the rug, unfortunately, sometimes we have to forget about the negative and just focus on the shows, I suppose.
You know what? Everybody deserves, like, the world is a serious place sometimes, you know what? Mm-hmm. And there's serious things going on. And it's good we can talk about social issues, but people also need their break. They also need their entertainment. Otherwise, you can't deal with everything.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. But since we're more or less on to serious issues, there wasn't an easy way to bring this up in the pod, so it's a lot easier to do this now. We have something going on with Fort Mac right now. Co-founder of Fresh Take, Dwayne Seal, Devin Seal's father, is offering help to people in Fort McMurray. He will help design permits with the reconstruction of the house. If you check out his website, he can help with a 25% discount on regular fees of helping create and design new house for those in Fort McMurray that have lost their house. Houses, for more information, go to the Fresh Take Facebook page to check out that. And anyone listening from Fort Mac, God bless and hope everything today in your day was decently. And any downloads that we have on YouTube for Fresh Take, as small as they are, will be donated to the Red Cross for those in Fort McMurray. And until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.